Flag is down. Returned by Austin. Plenty of room. Great return. Still rolling. Flag is down. Austin into the end zone. Touchdown.
All right. How seriously is anyone taking the Steelers? 6-2. I do think I was looking back at their resume. They lost to the Cowboys. They lost to the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
They have a win over Atlanta, which is one of their better wins. That's the opener, though, right? The opener, Atlanta wasn't Atlanta yet, I don't think. They've really started to play a lot better since then. They have a win over the Chargers, who I want to say the same about. The Chargers are a little bit better now than they have been. And then their wins are Jets, Giants. You know, it's not too impressive.
Yep.
Denver. I think they beat Denver.
They did beat Denver.
Let me give you the Steelers' schedule from here. We just had Howard picks the Bills. You go ahead and pick their schedule from here, okay?
Okay.
They are 6-2. Commanders.
Loss.
Ravens.
Where's the game?
Pittsburgh.
Win.
Okay, 7-3. At the Browns.
Loss.
7-4. At the Bengals.
Loss.
7-5. Home Browns.
Win.
8-5. At the Eagles.
Win.
9-5. At the Ravens.
Loss.
9-6. Home Chiefs.
Loss.
9-7. Home Bengals.
Loss.
9-8.
Okay. And I think I gave them a little credit on some of those.
Maybe.
At Philadelphia.
It's good they're stacking their wins early because the party's over.
Right. It's going to be very difficult.
A lot more difficult.
For them to get to 10 or 11, that's going to be very hard. They're going to have to do great in their own division. Is that right? All their division games are still coming?
They have not yet played a division game.
Okay. So they're going to have to thrive in their own division.
Yep.
And I don't think that's going to be easy. The Bengals are going to be playing desperate the rest of the way. The Ravens are great, and I've been saying it since he got hurt. I think the Browns are way better with Winston. They're a playoff caliber team with Winston in there. They're too far behind to make up for it, but yeah, I think that's going to be really tough for them. They are looking better, though, than I think they have in past years. Like, Wilson is an upgrade. Listen, like, for what they've done in recent years where they just scrap the 8-9 wins and then it's Mason Rudolph or it's Kenny Pickett and they're playing in a playoff game and they're like a 10-point underdog because their quarterback is like one of the worst in starting quarterbacks in football. Like, I don't think they're that right now. I don't think Wilson's great, but he's throwing passes down the field that a Steeler quarterback hasn't made since Ben Roethlisberger. So that has them, to my opinion, that has them a little more alive than I think they've been with Pickett and with Rudolph. But not to the extent where I would, be picking them to win like 11 games right now.
803-0550. One other thing that happened in that Pittsburgh game last night. This is kind of beautiful. So there's a play late in the game as the Steelers are trying to run out the clock and the Giants are trying to get the ball back. And based on which broadcast you were watching would determine whether or not you knew what was happening. The main broadcast, it is 2nd and 3.
Yeah.
2nd and 3, the Steelers are running to try to kill the clock. They picked up 7 yards on first down, 2nd and 3. The Giants have some timeouts. They have the 2-minute warning. They're down 8. They just need the ball back. And on 2nd and 3, a flag comes in. Here's what happened on the regular broadcast with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
But it just speaks to really how dominant T.J. Watt has been. He's fun to watch.
12 players on defense in formation. That's a 5-yard penalty.
I mean, these penalties all night. Mainly against the offense of the Giants, but 12 men in the formation, which adds 5.
Then they go on to talk about how JJ or TJ Watt's brothers were tweeting at him. They put tweets on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fine. You know, hey, you're telling a story. They're too busy talking about TJ Watt and his impact on the game. And they say, that adds none of these penalties all night. That's another 5.
For Aikman, it doesn't even enter his mind because he's ready to jump right in with, man, these penalties all night.
But that was Buck that said that, though.
Or Buck. Excuse me.
Buck said that, yeah. These penalties all night. That's Buck.
But just like it doesn't even enter the sphere.
Nope. And they're talking about tweets and TJ Watt as right. The Steelers get a first down. And it's, mean, Buck is, if nothing else, implying more penalties kill the Giants. Okay, what did that sound like on the Manning cast?
12 players on the field.
On purpose, right? Give them the first down. They got too much yards on first down, so just give them the first down there.
I agree. And you can't decline it anymore, right? Because it, because they call it before the ball's snapped.
Right away. Eli, on purpose.
Yeah.
And you're told what's actually happening.
And why they're like why it's smart.
Why they would do it. Why it was smart. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the ball back.
They got the ball back.
Manning cast by a million. Well, I mean, it depends your flavor, I guess, but if you're looking for sharp and insightful, it's not even a competition.
Right. If you're looking for someone to say 30 times momentum has gone one way or the other,
right,
then watch the main broadcast where they're going to convince you that that's really what's at work all the time.
Right.
And here's a Giants team that's not good with a coach that's maybe in trouble, and he could get fired any – I feel like he could get fired any day. Who knows? They're having a bad year again.
Dable?
I think he could get fired.
The owner, though, just came out a week ago and gave them a vote of confidence.
That usually means you're getting fired soon, doesn't it? I don't know.
Maybe. I think the owner knows he's the reason they're bad because he picked the quarterback and he's not holding his coach accountable for
right.
it. Because it wasn't his coach's fault. It was his fault. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well,
maybe he'll fire him anyway.
Either way, smart play.
Yes.
Maximizing your chances to win, taking a penalty on purpose. Smart play.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Manning cast has got it back together. Like they were a little sloppy at the beginning of the year with their broadcasts and delays and stuff, and now they're just like it's like clockwork. Everything is so good. The guests have been good. The delay issues are mostly gone, almost actually entirely gone, and you're back to getting just that. Like where the moment you're hearing from them after the game is, oh, this is what Eli or Peyton said smart, and they did it in the moment.
Yep.
I think it's a far better viewing experience.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I have a good trivia question for you. I've just been working this up.
I thought I had one, but there was only one answer to it. Or two answers to it.
I've got a good one.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say, tooting my own horn, this is a good trivia question. It's a hockey trivia question.
Okay. Before you do yours, the one I was trying to see like how many names there would be, how many players do you think have more catches, yards, and touchdowns than Keon Coleman? First eight games of their careers with the Bills. Like, wouldn't you have thought there was a list? There's not.
Well, first eight games as a rookie?
Yeah, yeah, okay, first eight games of your career.
Because one of the answers is Diggs.
Right, Diggs would have been an
came
answer.
In right away in his first eight
yeah,
games.
Yeah, no, this is rookie, like, for starting your career with the Bills, who's had more receiving production than Keon Coleman? And there's only two names. Jerry Butler in 1979, and then Sammy Watkins. That's it.
It's pretty good.
So Coleman, like, for a rookie receiver, this is the third best start to a career in Bills history. Yours is hockey?
Hockey trivia.
Okay.
Stamkos-based.
Okay. Who got the lap last night against his former team, the Lightning.
You want it now? Want some trivia?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do some instant trivia. I was working this up. And I was trying to figure out, like, how can I ask this? What can we do? So last night, Steven Stamkos, he went back to Tampa, got a welcome back, did a lap on the ice.
Yep.
Cool moment. Stamkos played 1,082 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
Which is not nearly as high on the list as I thought it would be.
He missed a lot of time due to injury, I think, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
First, this isn't the trivia. How many players have played more games with one franchise than Steven Stamkos? This isn't only one franchise, but how many players have played more than 1,082 games for one team?
Active or all time?
All time.
I'd probably guess a good amount.
It's 52.
Yeah, yeah.
52 have played more.
Yeah, that's not that... For that number, that's not that surprising for me.
Here's your trivia question.
Okay.
Active. Eight.
Active?
Eight. There are eight players active. If I've got all my numbers here right. Eight active players have played more games with a franchise. Doesn't have to be the only franchise.
But a franchise.
More than 1,082 games with one team. There are eight active.
Okay. Ovechkin.
1,433.
Crosby.
1,282.
Malkin.
1,155.
Letang.
1,097. Those are all correct.
Okay.
Marchand.
No.
Ooh, I don't know if he counts as.
Let me check where he is. Marshawn is at 1,038. He'll get there this year.
I don't know if this guy would count as active. Does Nicholas Backstrom count as active?
He is not active.
Okay.
He is on the list.
He's like LTIR.
Sure.
Nonsense.
He has not played this year.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. It's not.
But that's
wrong.
Not one of the eight.
Right.
Okay.
He might be active. There's another guy that's hurt.
He might never play again, though. So
there
it's
you
like,
go. So I don't know what to do with him.
It's like Ben Bishop being a Sabre.
Sure.
Except he is still technically a Capital. Okay, 1,000 games. Pavelski retired, so he's not going to be right. Is Zach Parise hanging around the league somewhere still? He was in Colorado. I'm going to say no on him. How many old guys are left in the league? Like, Tavares doesn't get there because he split half and half.
Also, your answer of Zach Parise, his highest number with a team was 558.
Oh, he's not even close. I thought he was in Minnesota forever.
He split.
Okay.
Players still active with more games with a franchise than Stamkos had with the Lightning. You have four left.
Ooh, I want to get these because this is like guys. This could be guys that like you don't even like realize they're still in the league, maybe.
Or three are currently with the same team.
They're with their same. Okay.
Three of them are.
Okay, let me look at a list. I need to look at the standings. Hold on.
How many left are there?
Logos.
Three? Four.
Is Brent Burns one of them?
No.
You were thinking with San Jose, maybe?
Yeah. No, he started in Minnesota.
Right. Oh, right. What about three that are still with the same team? Well, let me get the one maybe that's not with the same team. Is Claude Giroux going to be the one that's not on the same team?
No.
Okay.
Jamie Benn.
Correct.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Jamie Benn
has
played 1,121 games with the Stars.
Oh, Kopitar.
Kopitar, 1,382 games with the Kings.
Doughty.
1,177 games with the Kings.
So are we only missing...
One more.
The guy that is doing it with someone else now?
He's currently on another team.
Ooh, this is the one I want. Who is hanging around?
Zemgus Girgensons is who we're looking. No.
He can't be that far off, though, right?
He's actually pretty far off, but
is he?
Yeah.
How many games did he get for the Sabres? Like 800? So less than that? Gabriel Landeskog's not going to count for this. He's not going to get there.
Girgensons, 688.
That felt like 1,500.
You should get this answer.
I should get this answer?
Yeah.
Are you sure about Landeskog?
No, he's not doing it on a different team anyway.
Right.
I should get this answer.
Yep, you should get this answer. One more player that has played more games with one team than Steven Stamkos played with. This is the they should get a victory lap on the ice if they return.
Patrick Kane. Yeah.
Yep. Those are your eight.
Yeah, that'll happen too.
Not bad trivia, huh?
No, it's pretty good. I like that.
Stamkos.
I think Taze is like maybe going to come back at some point too.
Jonathan Taze?
He never officially retired. He had like an injury thing, went away for a year. I think that was out there like maybe he'd come back, but nothing's happened. So, but maybe.
Man, he hasn't played since 2022-23. So he's
he missed all 36. Last year, hasn't started this year. So maybe he's done. But he's never officially retired at least.
Yeah.
All right.
He had 1,067 games.
While we're on old guys, what's Ovechkin at right now?
For goals?
Yeah, has he got any more? Two.
I was going to say, he must not be scoring because I'm not hearing much about it.
He's got 5 points in 7 games, but we don't need points, Ovi. We need goals. Goals. He should just be shooting the puck. That's it. He is, it looks like, what, 40 away? 40 away from breaking the record. So he's got work to do.
It's not happening. I don't mean it's not happening at all.
But it's not happening this year.
It's not happening this year.
It would be pretty stunning if it happened this
year.
How
many would have to have this year for you to think, you know what, it's not going to happen? Like 18?
If he had 18 total for the year?
Yeah.
So 18 total for the year, he would need those still. Like, I don't know. I think he's getting there no matter what. Like, he scores 18 goals. And we're talking about him still only needing 24 next year? Well, I guess that would be more, right?
That's what I'm saying. He would have to go up.
Okay, maybe that's a good way for me to do it. For me to think that it's possible he's not going to break Gretzky's record again, he would need to have less goals this year than he would need next year.
So the cutoff so if is he like scored, 21?
Sure, yeah. Because like if he scored 24 this year and needed 18 next year, I would think he's getting it.
Yeah.
And also, if you're the Capitals and you're Ovechkin, you know, I mean, you're putting a banner up in the arena, aren't you?
Yes.
Like, it's going to be an all-time night for your franchise. Aren't you manufacturing it if you have to? It's like, you ever watch Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac?
No, I know of it, but I've never seen it.
I don't think you need to watch it.
Maybe I have seen it.
He comes out of retirement.
Yeah, maybe I have seen
three
it.
Three hits at like 50 years old.
In
just
Japan?
To get,
in Japan?
No, back on his former team.
Is there a movie called Mr. Baseball then?
That might be a different one.
I'm thinking of Tom Selleck, Mr. Baseball.
Okay, that I haven't seen. But he just needs three hits. He's 50. Comes back to get the 3,000. Like that. Ovechkin could be 50 years old. If he needs one more goal, you're playing him. You're getting him out there on the ice because he's got to get the record. It's going to be the second greatest moment in your franchise's history behind him hoisting the Stanley Cup. You got to have it. So I think he's getting it. Almost no matter what if he had 10 goals this year, maybe I would change my opinion. Because then it might feel like you got to do a lot of work to get there, but I also think he's going to score more than 10 goals. He's playing 19 minutes a night. He's still playing on the first line. Power play. He's going to get there.
Mr. Baseball starring Tom Selleck has an audience score of 41%.
Okay.
And a Tomato Critics score of 11%.
Woof.
A professional.
That is a rare score to see that low.
Tom Selleck. Jack Elliott, who gets traded to the Dragons, a Japanese team, openly unhappy about the change. Elliott isn't eager to adapt to new culture, proceeds to get on the bad side of his teammates, including one other American, Max Hammer Dubois. Eventually, Elliott decides to make a real effort, attempting to improve his game and his attitude, but will it be enough to help lead his team to victory? Mr. Baseball.
Okay. Mr. 3000, in comparison, got a 55 on the tomato meter, but a 30 on the critic score.
Well, it's better.
Yeah. Stan Ross retires after getting his 3000th hit. 9 years later, a clerical error is discovered, invalidating three of his hits and keeping Ross from the ultimate baseball honor. 47-year-old convinces the Brewers to let him rejoin the team to make his last three hits. It's a good movie. I'm in a baseball mood right now, so I might need a baseball movie. What's the best baseball movie I should see that I haven't? Because I haven't seen most of them. One baseball movie this week, if I had to see one, what should it be?
Best baseball movie. People will say For Love of the Game.
Okay, I've never seen it. Never seen Sandlot. Never seen The Natural.
Sandlot is...
The Natural was filmed here.
Right.
Which makes me think that should be the one I see. But
I was almost about to say something like Sandlot's not a baseball movie. Of course it is. It's more of a coming-of-age kids movie. Like, not a kids movie, but it's coming-of-age.
Okay.
That features, obviously, baseball centrally to it.
Yeah. Like,
what's the best baseball movie?
I think the ones I've seen.
You've seen Rookie of the Year.
I've seen Rookie of the Year. I've seen 42, the Jackie Robinson one. I've seen The Rookie with, who was that in there? Dennis Quaid.
Major League is the best baseball movie.
I've seen Major League. Okay, so maybe
I
have
wrong?
Seen more
is
than
Is that wrong? Major League.
I think that's right.
Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Oh, Moneyball's the best baseball movie. I love Moneyball.
Moneyball's a good movie.
Soundtrack's great. Acting's great. Moneyball. Analytics, baby. Mr. All right, maybe Mr. Baseball.
Nothing makes a better movie than analytics.
Tom Selleck in a baseball movie?
Mr. Baseball's not a bad movie.
It's pretty bad.
I enjoy it.
Another one I've never seen. We should rank these. What order?
You should rank the movies you've never seen, then see them all, and then re-rank them.
Bill Durham. Bull Durham, I've
Bull
never
Durham.
Seen.
It's a great movie.
Should that go above?
Yes, that's a classic. Yes, you should see Bull Durham.
Trouble with the Curve, I've never seen.
Never.
Clint Eastwood.
That one's okay. It's pretty good. It's like a baseball scout movie, honestly.
I've seen Field of Dreams. I've seen Angels in the Outfield. Bad News Bears, of course. Maybe I've seen more of these. Fever Pitch. Jeez, that was a disaster. All right, baseball movies.
One thing, did they announce this last night? Where did I see this originally last night? Might have been on the broadcast, on the football game. Anyway, do you know that December 9th, Monday Night Football, Bengals, Cowboys. We are getting another one of these special broadcasts.
Okay.
You know the Nickelodeon one that has all the stuff and they slime people?
I saw this. Yeah.
So ESPN, Disney, The Simpsons,
yeah,
and the NFL will premiere The Simpsons Sunday Funday Football, a Monday night, animated Monday night football game transformed in real time into iconic Simpsons world using Sony's Beyond Sports technology. Adams Stadium in Springfield will host the fully immersive fan viewing experience featuring the Bengals and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Simpsons Fun Day Football alternate viewing presentation will stream on Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and blah, blah, blah.
Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky will be doing commentary.
Okay.
With Drew Carter calling the game. Saw that.
This is a definite I'm going to tune in to see what this looks like.
I think I'm going to want to watch the whole thing.
Each Bengals and Cowboys player will appear as a motion-enabled animated player. Through state-of-the-art tracking technology enabled by NFL's next-gen stats, Sony's Beyond Sports, Sony's Hawkeye.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, like the tennis technology?
Hold on, here we go. We're getting more. Bart and the Bengals.
Oh, Bart's
Homer
leading the Bengals.
Homer and the Cowboys is the headline presentation.
Okay.
Bart Simpson sides with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Homer aligns with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. For most of the game, Bart and Homer will let their new Bengals and Cowboys teammates manage the action, but the iconic father and son duo won't sit on the sidelines for the entire game. Each will select key opportunities to play offense or defense, replacing a player and joining his other 10 teammates on the field.
Let's go.
Listen.
This all sounds amazing.
True or false? The famous video of the Burger King guy intercepting Drew Bledsoe led to this moment. We're going to get Homer Simpson as Jamar Chase. Oh, wait, he's in the Cowboys. Homer Simpson.
Yeah, he's going to be CeeDee Lamb.
He will be CeeDee Lamb. There is a football game on television this year where Dak Prescott will throw a touchdown to Homer Simpson.
Yes.
Surrounding the gameplay, Marge and Lisa will interview players during the game. Maggie will fly the Skycam, while popular characters, show references, and aesthetics will bring a real Sunday night with the Simpsons feel to Monday Night Football.
I think I'm going to want to watch the whole thing, beginning to end. I have not done that for any of these, though. Listen, like, the whole thing. Like, let me just watch the game beginning to end on this. You see the clips, usually, is what I end up with.
The memes that are going to come out of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got a top score to beat of Mike McCarthy angry at the end of a Nickelodeon game, which is still the greatest meme of the NFL's ever produced.
All due respect to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but can I just say this? If you're Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, wouldn't you constantly be like, why do you guys keep going with these broadcasts against us? Why?
Because
who else does this? You keep offering people something else to watch. What are you trying to say? Now I got a feed where it's going to be Bart Simpson is, playing left tackle on a play?
It is funny that, they paid Buck and Aikman, and since then, it's Monday night doubleheaders with another game and another broadcast crew. It's the Manning cast almost every week, providing another opportunity. Now it's this. They really are giving you every opportunity
to not watch
Buck and Aikman.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate because I am not a fan of Buck and Aikman at all. But will I be not a fan enough to watch a full game of The Simpsons?
Are you ready?
Animated. I don't know.
Are you ready to see Micah Parsons replaced by Homer Simpson digitally cutting around the edge to haul down Joe Burrow? Are we prepared for that as a nation?
We better be. Coming.
I'm going to watch it.
Now that'll open the door to what's next then, too. Because we've done, what have we had? We've had Toy Story, right? There was a Toy Story broadcast.
That's right.
There was Nickelodeon. Now we're getting The Simpsons. Are we going to get like a Marvel simulcast at some point where like Iron Man is throwing the football to Captain America? Is that too far? When's too far? Is there any too far?
There's no too far.
They're
putting Homer Simpson on the field. That's one of the players.
Right.
What's going to happen when, next year they're like, let's bring this back, and instead of Derrick Henry, it's Homer Simpson carrying the football. Okay.
I like it.
803-0550.
Oh, we had SpongeBob and Patrick Starr, right? That would have been the Nickelodeon one, because you remember when Patrick Starr dunked on Russell Wilson? You remember that clip? Oh, it was...
What was it?
Patrick Starr. Dunked Russell Wilson threw an interception.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick Starr, he said something. That's not what he wanted to cook, maybe, is what? Something. He's something that roasted Russell Wilson on the air. All right, I'm looking forward to this. You know what? I'm going to watch it. I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
Definitely going to watch that. I can't wait to see fancy Kirk Cousins in primetime. They scored 17. They scored 17 points this week. Fancy Kirk Cousins did.
Yeah, they're 3-5.
He also got really mad at the officials because they wouldn't snap the ball once. All right, Jeremy and Joe, we'll get a break in. If you want to join us about really anything for that matter, really anything at all, 803-0550 on WGR.